I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. Jeremy Zakas, my longtime colleague in Australia. Jeremy is here to report on the virus, the vaccine, geopolitics, and especially the threat of a variant that is now running completely overboard in India. Australia is very close to India, has good relations with the subcontinent. And yet, Jeremy, a very good morning to you in Australia. The headline in these last days, Australia has received only 70% of the COVID vaccine doses the government expected by now. Lead paragraph, this is the Guardian of London. Australia has received just 70% of the vaccine doses the government expected to be on hand by mid-April. In a presentation, the government included monthly forecasts for Australia's expected vaccine supply. Based on these forecasts, the federal government has blamed international shipment delays for the slow rollout, which could take a couple of years to complete at the current pace. This sounds alarming. What is the thinking in Australia right now about vaccinating your most vulnerable population? Good morning to you.
G'day, John. That's right. The Australian government has a major shortfall right now. We've only got 70% of the promised vaccine doses. That means 1.5 million doses that we were supposed to have right now that, as you identified, were supposed to go to our most vulnerable have not yet made it into the system. Now, the reasons are varied. The Australian government does say that there has been a problem with transshipment, with logistics, not being able to get it into the country. But there's also the other side that says that AstraZeneca has been able to produce the vaccine, but for whatever reason, due to a political stance in some ways, the European Union, they aren't able to deliver them in-country, and those produced in-country can't speed up fast enough to actually make that 1.5 million vaccine shortfall. So basically, John, at the end of the day, what it looks like here is the Australian government has really put all its eggs in one basket with the AstraZeneca virus vaccine, and they had no contingencies. So when we came to this point, when there was a logistics problem, there's really nowhere to go. So
Right. While
the government is trying to explain its way out of this, it's really left us hanging is the best way to say it.
Even more alarming, Bloomberg's reporting within 48 hours, while much of the world contends with a surge in COVID-19 cases, Australia takes another big step towards normality this week, when about 100,000 football fans will gather in the nation's largest stadium without having to wear masks. That's all very positive. But then we learn this. The slow vaccine rollout could keep Australia isolated into 2022. In other words, we're not able to travel to you, and you're not able to travel to us and go back. Does the government tell the population that you could spend this year locked up?
Yeah, that's a very good point there, John. And that footy game, we call football footy here, it's an Australian thing, is a point of contention. I mean, 100,000 people, imagine that in a stadium now without masks, really quite close together. I mean, this and social distancing by any means. At the point where we're still seeing new strains come online, we see new strains coming into Australia and we're seeing major, major problems. Then the Australian government saying that we are still going to be isolated from the rest of the world virtually. We're not going to be able to travel this year that easily. We're not going to be able to let our foreign neighbours in, for example, anyone from the United States wanting to travel to Australia cannot do that yet. But yet, within Australia, we're opening up as if it's normal when it's really not. So it is causing a bit of contention and a bit of heartache within the Australian community, because we were running very well. We were doing very well with regards to keeping the virus down. But at the moment, there are some decisions being made that could throw it the other way. And, I mean, like everyone else around the world, John, we like to think that we're going to be coming out of this within the next couple of years. We are going to be able to get back to normality. But it's just decisions like this, opening up sports events so quickly, it's causing a few problems here. But
Right. Having
said that too, Australia, we have been very lucky. We've had low numbers of viruses. When we do have problems, such as we just had in Western Australia about 2 days ago, the states do close their borders, do go into lockdown. So we are aware of how to stop it. But as you also said too, there are these new virus strains, new types. We have the Indian strain, the South African strain, and Australia hasn't been untouched by that. So We are watching, we are waiting, we are remaining optimistic as Aussies do, but we just don't know the answer, and we just don't know whether or not what we do now may in fact throw us further away from normalcy than where we want to be.
Australia's cut flights from India to contain the virus risk, which is logical. In other words, the reason you've been successful is you're cut off from the world. You have to take a plane there, and if you limit the planes coming in, you can protect. There is this, Jeremy, a striking fact. Australia promises to send 10,000 vaccines a week to Papua New Guinea and Timor-Leste. How is that? Why are you sending virus vaccines when you don't have enough for yourselves?
Well, John, this is almost a throwback to Australia's defence policy, believe it or not. The forward defence policy, where the theory is if you basically take the fight offshore into our neighbours and protect Australia, because Australia, being an island too, has a very big natural barrier, which also works for viruses. If you take the fight offshore, you can actually stop it arriving on Australia's shores and doing a lot of damage. Now, this is also very much in the thought process to providing the vaccine to Papua New Guinea. If we can stop the significant number of cases of virus in Papua New Guinea, if COVID can be stopped there, there's a large chance that as borders become more porous, as borders become open again, the Papua New Guineans that do tend to travel to Australia and Australians that travel to Papua New Guinea won't begin transmitting it to the Australian continent. It was a very low number of doses, though. This is the problem. While there are tens of thousands of doses going into Papua New Guinea, Papua New Guinea also has tens of thousands of cases at the moment, or at least 10,000 that have been identified, possibly a lot more. So while it is certainly a positive thing, it is absolutely not foolproof. The doses that we provide may not stop the virus in Papua New Guinea, may not stop the new strains, but you know what? At least we're trying something from an Australian point of view. And you know what? It may work too. So as I said before, Aussies are optimistic. This is something that we're doing. This is something we think forward defence-wise might stop COVID coming into Australia again.
How's the morale of the country, Jeremy, on the telly? Are people gloomy, or are they looking for a better day?
They're definitely upbeat, is the best way to say it. Right now, April 25th is Anzac Day, which is a military holiday, remembering our fight in Gallipoli in World War One. And look, we haven't gone services. We're still getting out and about. We're still doing it very Australian things. Having said that, though, there are conditions, there is definitely social distancing, but generally the mood of the population is get out there, do as much as normal, however, don't go overboard. When I say overboard, it means don't have the parties, don't have large music events, for example. As you may know too, Australia has a lot of festivals, which have all been closed down since COVID began. And just, it is a very upbeat tempo, but it's, I guess there is this overhanging feeling that we know it's still there, we know it could still get worse, and we're not quite there as far as being back to what we were before. And truth be told, John, we may never get there. I think Australians also admit that this might be something we just have to learn to live with.
Anzac Day, let me wish you it's morning on Anzac Day for you, so you have it ahead of you. How is this usually celebrated, and how will it be celebrated this year? Will you have fireworks with social distancing, something like that?
Very, very close. Normally what happens is we have dawn services. So around the country, people come together around soldiers' memorials, around military memorials, and it's about a two-hour service where people read readings, you watch the sunrise, and effectively have a good old Aussie barbecue at the end of it.
Right.
At this point, all of those have been effectively cancelled, or if they are going to be run, they're only with very, very limited numbers, less than 10 people. However, what is happening is that some of the more major events, the larger marches, certainly here in Canberra, the Anzac Day Memorial that goes across most of the morning from about 4:30 a.m. in the morning to around about midday, that will still be held, but very tightly controlled. The number of guests that are allowed, the guests will be social distancing, and it will be televised as well in a way to try and stop people actually going out and going into those large crowds and celebrating the normal way that they do. However, and this is the big however, the pubs, the clubs, the hotels, the ones that do hold Anzac Day events normally after the official part, the marches and the memorials, they are still open. The concern is that people who may not attend the dawn services are still going to go out and celebrate at all the clubs and hotels and pubs in Australia, which could potentially cause some problems with COVID. But also that's banked on the fact that we haven't had any new major COVID cases, at least here on the East Coast, for a long time. So, John, it's definitely a big celebration occurring. It's still scaled back to what it was compared to, say, non-COVID times. But you know what? We love Anzac Day, and we're going to celebrate it, I guess.
Jeremy Zakas is in Australia. He is my longtime colleague. Jeremy and I met over the 9/11 attack many, many decades ago. And we've been through crises, and we'll be through them again. I thank him for the report from Australia. It's Happy Anzac Day, but at the same time, there's not enough vaccine yet delivered to Australia. Australia's being generous to Papua New Guinea. They've closed the flights from India. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.